Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 49. I am Jeff, as always, joined by Chris.
Pumped. I'm pumped.
Yeah. And Chris has seen The Conjuring.
I did.
And, yeah, tell me.
Directed by James Wan, who you might know from films like Saw and Insidious. The Conjuring is... So it's one of those films that always gets me to be like a little like sketchy going in. Like they preview it as, you know, based on a true story, and then after they preview it a little bit, then it becomes the scariest film ever made. I can't stand those like previews, because very rarely do I go in like and come out going, damn, that was a scary film. I did not come out of The Conjuring thinking it was a scary film. I came out thinking it was a really well-done horror film, though. And that's because they just do a great job of building tension the entire time. And there's a few, like, scary moments. Some of them are actually in the trailer, which is a little disappointing, because I think it would probably have served the film a little bit better to hide that stuff. But I guess you have to show some kind of terror in the trailers.
Yeah.
It's filled with a really good cast and Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson.
Weren't they the people in Insidious?
I know Patrick Wilson was. I'm not sure if,
she wasn't the wife?
I don't know.
See, I was worried it would be like a rehash of Insidious, even though I know they're doing Insidious 2 also, but like, that's just kind of what it looked like to me.
Yeah, like Insidious was, like the kid was being haunted, right? Like,
yeah.
This kind of, it takes place in the, mid-70s, late-70s. This family moves into a farmhouse in Rhode Island, and, the first night they're there, dog won't go in the house. Dad's like, fuck it, I don't give a shit. Stay outside then, asshole. And when they wake up the next day, dog's dead. And then from there, like, more and more weird shit starts happening. Mostly to the younger girls, the family of seven, like they have five girls. The mom and the dad. Dad's a truck driver. So he's not around the whole time, so a lot of this is happening when he's not in the house. The mother is getting bruises on her. Like, the first time the bruise shows up, she kind of makes a joke, like, to her husband, like, what'd you do to me last night? And he's like, I didn't do that. Like, but then, like, as the film goes on, like, she gets more and more bruises. She ends up going to the doctor. They tell her that she has an iron deficiency. She has to take these pills. Her kids are being woken up in the middle of the night. They're terrified, but nothing's really doing anything to anybody. But as things progress, it gets crazy enough that the mom and dad, played by Ron Livingston and Lily Taylor, the mom goes off and she meets with these demonologists, played by Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, the Warren family, and they are real people. they are, I guess, real demonologists. Patrick Wilson's character Ed Warren, he actually has a relationship with the Catholic Church. He is the only lay demonologist that the Catholic Church acknowledges, and so I mean, there's a little bit of a, you know, reality to any of this stuff. I mean, at least character-wise, like you can't speak to how any of this shit happens. But so they bring these people in and they start setting up their 1970s equipment, and they have the house all rigged, and more and more crazy shit starts happening, and I never felt scared, but there was always this level of tension, and it doesn't do anything where it's like, you know, lots of horror films where it's like the cat jumps out and it's like, ah, like everyone kind of like the jump scare shit. It doesn't really do a lot of those. So I never really felt scared, but the way the story works is that the house was owned by a witch who ended up killing herself, and there's something to do with demons and exorcisms, and it's one of those types of films, like a an exorcism movie, and I think it's actually really well done, really entertaining, mostly because of the way the actors portray everything. They feel like they're in terror, which is really important for a horror film.
And they might feel like real people, unlike another movie we saw recently.
Yeah, like, I mean, everybody in this felt real. Like there's this cop that's a friend of theirs, and he's, like, helping him out with the investigation. He's a skeptic. He don't believe in any of this crap, but there's some lighthearted humor where their assistant, he, like, cracks jokes at the cop, something happens, he gets knocked down by the ghost demon thing, and he makes a joke where he's like, oh, did a breeze do that or something? And it just, everybody feels real in the film, and it looks authentic, like it looks like it's taking place in the 70s, and you kind of just go along for the ride.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't yet, but, I mean, it sounds like my cup of tea.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not done in that style of found footage, but I think it had a lot of, like, the original Last Exorcism, like, the back half of that, where they're actually dealing with the demon. Like, I think it did a good job of doing that type of stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, if you're into horror, I would check it out.
Is it, like, violent at all? I'm just wondering.
I mean, a little bit. It's not gory, it's not... and there's one scene where they've kind of tied down the lady who's been possessed, and she takes a bite out of that cop. But it's, like, very small. It's not anything. There's no, like, crazy amounts of blood.
No gore.
Yeah, it's not really over the top. It's just really good tension filled filmmaking.
It's nice to hear that Juan has kind of hit his stride, because I was never into Saw, but now he seems to be going for more scares and creepiness and stuff and tension. So
yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, he moved away from Saw immediately.
Yeah,
like he did the original Saw, which is not a bad film. And he moved right on to, like, doing other stuff. He did Dead Silence, which was, like, the weird, like, possessed,
I remember the cover of it. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it's with a ventriloquist doll. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. Then he did a Death Sentence with, how the hell did he do that with?
Oh, yeah, wasn't that Kevin Bacon?
Kevin Bacon. Yeah, that was a decent film as well. But yeah, now he's kind of moved back into his horror stuff, and he definitely seems to have found a spot with, like, this possession angle. And he knows how to build that tension. Like, I thought Insidious was fantastic for that.
Yeah.
It doesn't pay off, maybe, at the end all that great, but and I'm worried about Insidious 2, which he also directed.
Wow.
We'll see. What's going to be really weird is he's directing Fast and Furious 7, which comes out next year.
Wow.
So that's, like, a completely different jump, right? You go from directing horror films to directing a, like, big summer blockbuster action movie.
That's really weird.
Maybe there'll be ghosts in that one.
Yeah. All right, so you're recommending it then, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely. If you're into horror, go check it out.
What do you want to talk about next?
I think we should talk about the, unless you want to save Only God Forgives for the end.
I don't know, I don't care, whatever you want.
I mean, that's the next most recent film, I think, that we've seen, so.
It's also the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You want me to try and explain it?
Yeah, try. I'll help you out if I can.
It's a follow-up from Nicholas Winding Refn, right?
Yes.
Who did Drive with Ryan Gosling, and this one also has Ryan Gosling. Very different movie. Still very stylish, but, like, just very different. It's almost like he's going for, like, an Asian revenge, like, ultra-violent revenge movie or something.
Yes.
Basic story. It can get a little confusing, but it comes down to Ryan Gosling and his brother. They live in Bangkok, and they got a gym, like a boxing gym or whatever. And the brother decides to go out and, like, rape and kill, like, a kid. And he ends up getting killed because of that, you know. And then that kind of sparks a war between Ryan Gosling's family and basically the police.
Yeah, like specifically like this police chief type guy.
And the weird thing is I was like unsure throughout the whole movie if this guy was an actual cop or if he was just like this shadowy figure who like would just ran stuff. But no, I looked it up. He's like a lieutenant of the police or whatever.
Yeah, like he never wears a uniform.
No.
It was just really weird.
And he does whatever he wants, but I guess you probably do whatever you want there. I don't know. Bangkok seems pretty crazy. And, this is I think if you had to do a one-word summary, it would be weird.
Yeah, I think, when I was watching it, I was like, it's a really fucking weird movie.
Like, in my opinion, the big problem with it is it's over-stylized. And it never finds its pulse. It's just like, it's so worried about it, you know, doing like these art house flourishes that it just never, even when the crazy stuff starts happening, you're like, it's surrounded by utter like dullness.
There's just so much strange crap going on, and it's a really basic story. It shouldn't be that difficult to explain, but they fill it in with like these visions that you're not really sure if they're visions or not. I don't know. I was really confused by the entire thing.
Like, the thing is, I think that there's, like, almost so little plot to it that he was trying to dress it up. But it's his movie. He wrote it. Like, why the fuck did you make it? Like, I don't know. I thought the mom in it was good. At least she had more of a personality than anyone else in it. She plays, like, this evil matriarch who's, like, running everything.
Like she's evidently she's like running a crime syndicate. Like, it's like because evidently like she imports drugs into Bangkok, and her sons are kind of handling that end of it. But I'm not really sure if Frank Gosling's character was involved, or if it's just that his mom does that, or like because they never really like. I don't know. He says about maybe 30 words the entire fucking
right.
movie. Like, it's really, really strange.
And that's the thing. Like, in Drive, there was not a lot of dialogue either. The guy was a quiet guy as well. But that movie felt human. Like, the rest of the people in it felt like real people. You know, and there was a little bit of romance and stuff. This movie's just fucking out there. It's just, there's no one to really like. Like, you can't really even root for Ryan Gosling's family because his brother was a douchebag.
Right, well, it's like there's this really interesting moment pretty early on after his brother gets killed. Ryan Gosling goes out with, you know, his buddy or whatever. They find this guy who killed him, and he asks him why he did it, and I guess the guy explains it, what happened, like that it was his daughter, that he had been raped, and that she had been raped, and that he had murdered her. So Ryan Gosling lets him live. And then the mom is there, and she's kind of, like, going on and on about, like, it's like, oh, and you just think that, you know, he deserved it. He fucking did.
That was, I thought, a pretty good scene, though, where it was, like, it was out there. It was weird, because Ryan Gosling just sits there the whole time.
Yeah, that's the scene that they're in the restaurant, right? He's in there with his girlfriend, who's...
Well, a prostitute. He just asked to come with
him. Right.
Pretend to be my girlfriend. And they're just sitting there.
So weird. That whole scene was so strange.
But that was the scene when you finally figure out, like, what is even going on in the movie, really. Because you're just like, what is this? You know, and she finally, like, kind of lays it all out, like, you know, like the relationship between him and his mom. And mom, we should say, was played by Kristen Scott Thomas. I think she was one of the bright points in this. She just plays, like, this evil mom.
She's up, like, that was one of the things I'm thinking. I'm, like, watching this, I'm like, she's up there with, like, evil matriarchs. Like, remember that Australian film? Like,
much better film.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, I mean, she definitely has, like, this chick is, woo.
you're thinking of Animal Kingdom,
yes,
right?
Yes, Animal Kingdom, the Australian crime movie.
Yeah, much better crime film than this. This, I think this is, you know, if we're being honest, I think it's kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Comes together.
I mean, I think you said, like, there are a couple bright spots in it. Like, there's a really good scene. Ryan Gosling walks out of, I don't know where he's at, with his hooker girlfriend.
The fight scene. That was my favorite part of it.
Yeah, and he turns, like, he just walks up to the police lieutenant and, you want to fight? And then it's just, like, this great music is playing in the background. And
it goes to, like, that 80s, like, synthesizer music. I was like, where was this music the rest of the movie? Like, you had all this great music in Drive. Where was the music in this one?
And it just, there's, like, this build-up as Ryan Gosling gets ready, and, like, the lieutenant is just standing in the middle of, like, this the gym. And, like, the camera is spinning around. And then they get to the fight, and, like, the music just keeps building. And like, the lieutenant beats the shit out of him.
like, Ryan Gosling is so, like, he's just such a puss in this. Even though the mom describes him as a very dangerous boy at one point. But, yeah, he just gets, I don't think he got a shot in. And it was well choreographed. It looked like a real, like, sort of martial arts that they were doing.
Right.
That was a good scene. I also really enjoyed a torture scene that happened. Like, I got more involved in the movie near the end, but then the ending itself was lame. So I thought the ending was lame, like the very, very end.
The part with his mom?
Well, no, that was fine. It ends on, like, a dream sequence type thing. Where I was just like, okay, that's dumb. Why didn't you show me what actually happened?
Oh, yes. Where he's, like, playing with his hands, and didn't make any goddamn sense. That's, I mean, the whole movie, though, is really surreal. It's like, is any of this fucking happening?
And, I mean, I got what happened there, because, like, the lieutenant does something like that early on in the movie. But, like, it was just, okay, that was dumb. That was a weak ending. Like, yeah, I did get more involved in it when, like, the lieutenant's going out trying to find out who the mom is, and he goes after this one guy, and he's, like, nailing him to a chair. I was like, damn, dude.
And he's, like, methodical about it, too. Like, he takes the two hair picks out of, like, one of the waitress's hairs, and, like, he, like, jabs them into his arms. And then he slowly walks around, like, to find two more.
Yeah.
And, like, then he jabs them into his legs, and then he walks around again and gets a paring knife. Like, it's like, what, like, just methodical and sick. It's like, There's another scene after there's a shootout, and the lieutenant chases after the one of the shooters, and he catches him. He throws oil in his face.
Oh, yeah.
And then he has him, like, in this warehouse area in front of a kid, and he pulls out this, like, mini katana and just slices the dude's chest open. And
that was good.
It's like, okay.
Well, that was, like... And another thing I noticed throughout the first half of the movie is, like, there was violence happening, but they weren't showing it. I'm like, why is he not showing violence?
Right. It's like when he chops off the guy's hands, like, they pull away from it. And
yeah, but then later on in the movie, there was, like, a few, like, gory moments. Like, I think one of the things, I mean, Drive is kind of similar, too, in that, like, it has, like, this slow build-up, and then, but there are, like, in Drive, it's just, like, these really short bursts of violence where you're like, whoa!
Right. This just built up to more and more and more violence, like.
Yeah, but it was weird, and I don't know, like, dude, like, I can't say I liked the movie too much. It was too weird. It was too sloppy. Like, it's like, well shot and very stylish. Don't get me wrong.
I love the colors. Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to Drive. Like, there's a crispness to his cinematography, and just the very nature of Bangkok. It's a colorful city. He goes back, he uses a lot of blues and reds and oranges, and a lot of shots are framed in different colors, depending upon how the mood is. Like, there's this, towards the end of the film, there's a shot where the mother's kind of being interrogated, in her hotel room, and it's in this white-gray, kind of like neutral tone. And then later on, when Ryan Gosling returns to the hotel room, it's shot in this like goldish hue, and just everything is beautiful looking. And
they use that like gold thing a lot, like when he'll be sitting in his place and he's like looking out like this this weird window,
mm-hmm.
like this yellow light will come through. I don't know, like that stuff's all fine, but to me, it comes down to the movie's too weird for its own good. It's too concerned with being stylish instead of having any sort of excitement. And that's the thing, it's dull. That's like, to me, it's, for all the violence in it, it's pretty damn dull.
That's the big thing. I mean, it's a 89-minute film, and there are like these brief glimpses of like brutal violence and excellent camera work. But it's all just cut together with this, like, boredom.
Yeah. You're just throwing stuff in there that, like, is just... And there was, like, some scenes that I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, Gosling, like, his character, all he seemed to like to do is go sit and stare at, like, strippers or something.
Right.
And then there's, like, one part he, like, goes and attacks some guy and, like, drags him by the mouth, like, through a hallway. And I was like, why is he doing this?
Yeah, what did that have to do with anything?
Did you even understand what... I didn't... No. I was like, what is going on? I had no idea... What that was, like, what that, you know, so, like, that should have been cut. That should have been left out of the movie. It had nothing to do with anything.
Right, it just added an extra 3 minutes on. It didn't need to be there, because...
To get to that 90-minute mark, maybe. I don't know. Because that's the thing, too. There's not much to the movie, really.
No, but it's really strange, because, I mean, it's a very, very standard tale. I mean, like, this is something that's been done over and over again. I mean, there are movies that use this basic framework that can go for 2 hours and fill all those 2 hours up with something. This is like, there's like 7 or 8 minutes of actual film going on here, and the rest of it is just like stylized shots of stuff and weird sounds, and I don't know. It's really weird.
Yeah, I can't give this one a strong recommendation. Like, you might be interested to see what Refn was gonna do after Drive, but this is no Drive. Drive, I think, is a great film. This is just a mess.
Yeah, it's weird, cause like, I mean, I haven't seen, some of his other stuff, but I heard Bronson is really good.
I couldn't sit through it. I got like a half hour into it, and I'm like, he's just trying to do Kubrick. And I gave up.
I heard Valhalla Rising is also good, so I don't know. I haven't seen either one of those, but they're the ones that everyone kind of like, you need to watch these movies, like.
He also has a trilogy called Pusher, and I tried watching the first Pusher, and I just couldn't deal with it.
So maybe Drive was just kind of,
I think that's hit it. His mainstream kind of hit, but the guy is really just kind of an art house guy who, you know, hits or misses, you know. Like, some people are going to dig it just because it's,
right,
it's, you know, artsy, but I don't know. To me, Drive was very, you know, kind of an art house, like, movie, but it was also pretty damn exciting and well done. This is just, it's shot well and everything, but this is not very good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What do you want to talk about next?
Tell me about, what is it, it's Jason Statham movie that you saw?
Redemption. It's a weird movie as well. not in the same way, but, Jason Statham, plays a, ex, UK captain. He's an ex-special forces guy. He's gone homeless for some reason. I don't they don't really ever get into why. Evidently, he did something like bad in the Middle East, and instead of facing it, he's gone underground, and he's kind of become a junkie. One night, they get attacked by these people that just kind of round up the homeless, take all their money and stuff. They get attacked by them. He fights back a little bit and ends up escaping into this apartment complex where the guy in the apartment building isn't there. And he finds some money and some cards and some credit cards and a car, and he decides he's going to clean himself up. And he starts kind of getting his life back together using this dude's...
Nice.
It's and while he's doing that, he ends up getting a job working for this Chinese mafia, kind of being like basically a tough guy for them, going around collecting money. He's still living at this dude's house the entire time, and as he's making more money, he's giving a lot of it to this soup kitchen run by this nun, who helped him out a lot when he was on drugs. And it turns out that his girlfriend that he was living with, she had been murdered and killed. And so he sets out to make it right. He just starts looking into, you know, who did this, what happened. And then he does it. Then he kills the dude who did it, and the movie ends. It's really fucking weird. It's like they build up this romance where he like ends up sleeping with the nun, and it's really strange, and they just move on from it though. It's like at the end, like he kills the dude who killed his friend, and he goes and becomes homeless again.
Weird.
It's like, this doesn't make any goddamn sense. I don't know what happened here.
I like the premise though, that he like finds this other guy's stuff and uses it to
kind of like clean himself up. Like, he has a daughter, and, like, he gives his ex-wife and his daughter all the money that he made from the Chinese before he goes back to being homeless again. And it's really just a weird, weird film. I mean, I could see why it did not get into a theater, so. Statham does a lot of these weird films, though, so.
So what is, like, the tone of it? Is it, like, more of, like, a comedy type thing?
No, I mean, it's a serious film. Like, I mean, it's not, he pretty much always plays a serious dude, but yeah, the tone of it is very serious, and there's like some lighthearted moments here and there, and you kind of feel that he's building this relationship up with this nun, and she'll leave the church or whatever, but none of that happens. Like, there's no payoff except for the fact that he kills the dude who killed his friend. and he takes care of his daughter. But that's it. Like, it's really strange.
Well, oh well.
I would skip it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad, because like I said, when you're setting me up with the premise there, I was like, I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a cool premise. Like, I mean, this guy, like, you know, down on his luck, ends up, you know, basically commandeering this dude's identity and making himself better because of it, but it doesn't pay off, so. Another dud from Jason Statham. He's been on a roll for a while now.
It's too bad, because I like the guy, but yeah, he's had a bad track record recently.
He's really good in his like 30-second spot in Fast and Furious 6, so.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, after the credits.
All right, well, you didn't see anything else, did you?
No, that was it.
I saw Maniac.
With the Hobbit guy, right?
Elijah Wood in Maniac, a remake of the 1980 Maniac. It's I don't know how I really feel about this one yet. It's interesting for sure. My thing is, I've never been a huge fan of the original Maniac. I don't know about you, but
I don't know if I've even seen it.
Honestly. Really? That's like a big It's like a big, one of the big, like, I don't know if you call it classic. I don't know what the right word is, but it's a big movie in the history of horror. But it was like, you know, from that era where they do like these really trashy, like, slasher movies, right?
Right.
And to me, I've always had a problem with the movie because to me, a slasher movie should be fun. Like,
yes.
Like Halloween, Friday the 13th. Whereas Maniac was going for something way more serious, but it was still just an hour and a half of, you know, very, very gory and very, like, disturbing violence against women. And, you know, this remake stays true to that. And I'm not saying there's not a place for, like, really disturbing horror, but when it comes down to it, something like, I think, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer does it way better than Maniac.
Okay.
But basic premise of both films, and like this one sticks pretty closely to like what the original was about, is, you know, Elijah Wood is this guy with really bad mommy issues. Like his mom was like a prostitute. She'd bring guys home and like be banging them in front of him and stuff. And she has just died, or she's died like maybe a year before the movie starts, and he's like living. I think he lives in an apartment above a shop that they had where they, like, had mannequins. And he takes out his issues with his mom by going out and, like, killing women. He can't have normal sex with them. He kills them, and he scalps them. And he puts the scalps on the mannequins. That's the basic plot.
Okay.
And I think, like in the original, there's a romance that develops. I don't think the nature of the romance is exactly the same, but in this one, basically, he runs into this girl who she's a photographer, and she does, like, art exhibits, and she, like, really likes his mannequins. And they start going out, and, you know, the plot of the movie from there is basically, like, him trying to control himself because he really likes this girl, but, you know, of course, you know what's gonna happen. You know, and of course she's gonna find out. The most interesting thing about this remake, though, is they decided to shoot it, and the director is Frank Calfoon, who has not done much. He did, like, P2, which I remember seeing and kind of enjoying, and he did Wrong Turn at Tahoe. That's not like a Wrong Turn movie, is it?
No. I just clicked on it. It is a, it looks like an action movie starring Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, okay.
And Harvey Keitel.
Okay, so straight to video.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I remember seeing P2. It was like took place in a parking garage or something. I remember thinking it was all
right. That's a horror film, right?
Yeah, yeah. If I remember correctly, it was the weird kid from American Beauty like stalking this girl in a parking garage or something. But yeah, the interesting choice they make here is it's almost all point of view, which they did a lot, like the opening of Halloween, you know, as
right.
Point of view. But the whole movie is point of view. You're trapped inside Elijah Wood the whole time, or his character the whole time. Like, very rarely does the camera, like, come out of his skin, and you'll almost only ever see Elijah Wood himself if he's looking in a mirror or if he's, you know, somehow being reflected in something. That is, like, an interesting exercise in filmmaking right there. So, like, on that merit alone, might be worth seeing for film geeks. I think the film itself, like, if you're a fan of Maniac, you're going to want to see this. I think they do a good job of remaking it, and I think making it more interesting and a generally better film. I think the way certain things play out near the end are a little bit better than the original.
Okay.
But, again, it's just, to me, it's just unpleasant. You know, kind of unpleasant to sit through. You know, and like I said, I think there's a place for like very unpleasant and disturbing horror movies, but I think there's better ones out there. So that's where I am. I'm kind of like in the middle on it. Like, I think if you know, like I said, if you're a big Maniac fan, you should see it. But also, if you're a fan of horror, I think you owe it yourself to see both of them just to see what you think of it.
Now I'll have to go watch them. I don't know, like, your description of it, though, like, does not, especially of the original, does not make it seem like it will be up my alley. Like, even I like slasher films, but just the nature of what you kind of like, kind of disturbing. Like,
yeah, it's just, it's really, really violent, and but it's supposed to be, like, serious, and, you know, you're seeing people just getting killed in horrible ways, and there's a very famous shot from the original, I'm pretty sure you've had to have seen it somewhere, where it's like, it's Tom Savini in a car, and the dude walks up, and the dude in the original is like this big fat guy, and they make like a reference that they're here, like he goes to meet the girl, and he's like, you know, she was like, I thought you'd be like a big fat guy, blah, 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 you know,
okay.
An obvious reference to the original. But he walks up to this car that Tom Savini's sitting in, and he just shoots him at, like, point-blank range with a shotgun, and his head just explodes.
Wow.
You've had to have seen that.
Yeah, like, I've probably seen it in, like, a kill reel or something from the 80s.
Yeah. But, yeah, they don't do that shot in this one, strangely enough. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I just can't say I really enjoyed my time with it.
I might have to give it a shot.
That's all I've seen, dude.
Yeah, that's it for me. I do have some stuff on tap. I think last week I said I'm going to watch Mirrors. I did rent that. It's just sitting there waiting for me. I rented that. I have Snitch and Spring Breakers to watch as well. So
I heard that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it turns out decent because I heard it was quite entertaining.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's what I have on tap, but not right away. You said we got a question in, though.
Yeah, Don asked if we want a Evil Dead 2.
Based on the remake, I guess?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. Although, so here's the reality of Evil Dead. Now, you've seen the original Evil Dead movies,
yeah.
Right?
I think I've seen all of them, yeah.
Evil Dead 2 is just a remake of Evil Dead.
Yeah.
It's, like, Army of Darkness is really the sequel to Evil Dead. Like, Evil Dead 2 is just, you know, there's more humor to it, but it's really just the same story. I mean, even some of the same characters, I believe. I mean, Ash is definitely in both.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate the remake. I know some people did.
I didn't hate it, but I was just... It's kind of mostly forgotten for me at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, like, the last 10 minutes of the film were pretty good. That's where, like, you know, the chainsaw comes into play, and she really takes on that Ash persona, but, that's it, yeah. Like, mostly a forgettable film.
I mean, I'll give it. It's better than some of the horror that comes out. It wasn't terrible, but yeah. But so, do I want a sequel to it? That's another one where it's like, dude, I'm not a big fan of Evil Dead. I'm really not. Like, Army of Darkness was funny. Like, and I liked that movie probably more than the Evil Dead's.
I could see that.
But it was pretty different, dude. He was like in like a different setting and.
Yeah, I mean, it was
way more jokey.
Like, time travel. He goes back in time. He's like, it's this, you know, he's like a Walmart clerk, basically. I don't remember what story works for, but he's basically he's S-Mart clerk. That's
shop
like,
smart.
He's in like medieval times with fucking, you know, chainsaw and a shotgun. And
I would say you could do something like that, but like. That movie kind of stands perfectly as it is. Like, the cheesy effects, everything. Yeah. Like, it stands great. It's great to watch now. I don't know. Like, I don't care. If they want to do it. I'll check it out, but...
Yeah, it's not something I'm like, yeah, I need to see this. Honestly, like, it's where I am with a lot of horror at this point. Like, I mean, well, I still haven't checked out Paranormal Activity 4, but, like, they made a 5. I don't give a shit. Like...
Yeah.
I'm done, like, give me something new, which is why I kind of like The Conjuring. Like, yeah, it's a pretty familiar story, exorcisms, etc., but it was different characters, a story I hadn't been told in that way just yet. I'm really not even looking forward to Insidious 2. Like, I thought that film stood alone quite well.
Yeah, and who knows?
Didn't need a coda to it or anything.
Yeah.
So.
Are there any, like, sequels that you want, like, horror or not? Like a sequel you would want?
Honestly, I would love a sequel to the Friday the 13th remake.
Yeah.
I thought that movie was great. Like, up there with the Texas Chainsaw remake. I know a lot of horror fans don't appreciate either one of those. I liked both a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I think they've killed Freddy with that Nightmare on Elm Street remake. And yeah, I don't know.
Did that do bad in theaters?
It did okay. I mean, horror films are low budget to start with, so I think that movie made about $70 million on probably like a $12, $13 million budget, so it made money. It just, I don't know why they haven't revisited it.
What about the Friday the 13th one, though? Did that like bomb? Because you would figure by now the second one would be in production.
Actually, I thought the Friday the 13th one made pretty good money, but
I'd be down for that, because I thought that was a blast, and I Friday the 13th movies are just fun, dude, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's nothing for me where I'm like, I want a sequel to it, but I'd be totally down for Friday the 13th.
I mean, really, like, the horror film I'm most looking forward to right now is, it's the awfully named You're Next. Which I think the name The Animals would have been better, but it looks like it could be a pretty terrifying type of slasher film.
Yeah, you know, I remember seeing that. Yep, that does look pretty good.
The name is awful, though. It's, like, so bad.
The original name was The Animals?
Oh, no, I don't like, I just know that it's called You're Next, and, like, I think The Animals would have been a better name.
Because like, isn't it a dude with, like, a pig mask?
Yeah, the wolf masks, I think.
Really?
And it's more than one of them, but yeah, they're kind of like hunting this family in the house, and
yeah, The Animals would have been a good name.
Yeah, I would prefer something like that. Friday the 13th, 2009 remake on a $19 million budget made $65 million domestically.
Now it's just box office, right? Like, it's not including.
That's not including like DVD sales.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully it happens. I like, you know, the three main guys. They ran fucking Halloween into the ground big time. Unfortunately, like with Resurrection and then fucking Halloween one and two. Oh god, like they just buried my favorite fucking horror series. But I don't think we see Michael Myers for a while either.
As much as I like Michael Myers, that one can stay buried for a little bit, because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like everything they try to do with it, it's just not good.
And the sad thing is those movies made money. Like double their budgets money. I mean, that's what horror films do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, The Conjuring was done on, like, a really low-end budget, and it made $20 million, which isn't really that low, but it made double that in its first weekend. Like, that movie's going to be a huge success.
Well, it sounds like it deserved it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so. I don't know about The Evil Dead 2, though. We'll see. And I guess with that, we're done. We should probably come up with something for our 50th episode at some point. we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, we could probably come up with something.
Yeah. So if you guys are listening to this, which I'm not sure anybody does, let us know what we should do for the 50th episode.
Give us ideas.
Yeah.
We're lazy.
Yeah. that's it. I guess we'll be back next week or soon.
Yeah, we'll try to do more regular.
Yeah. I'm going to try and see Wolverine, so.
I'm going to try to see the Spring Breakers.
All right. We'll both watch that for episode 50 and try and come up with something cool to do for it. So.
Sweet.
All right. We're out.
Peace.
Movie dudes.